الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had begun the issue of zakat al-kharij min al-ard. We had begun the issue of zakat al-kharij min al-ard, the issue of paying the obligatory charity on that which is produced and comes from the earth, from the things that come from the earth. And we have seen that what is discussed in this particular chapter is al-hubub wa thimar, the grains and the fruits, and al-asal is the honey, and likewise al-rikaz are those treasures that are buried in the ground from the wealth of the disbelievers, and the ma'din, those valuable elements that are found in the earth, created in the earth, and it's not from the earth. And we had been discussing the issue of al-hubub wa thimar, and we've seen the evidences of the obligation of that in the book and in the sunnah. And we've seen the consensus with regards to two types of hubub and two types of thimar, that there's a consensus with regards to the obligation of zakat on them if the conditions are met. And that was the sha'ir and the hinta, and the zabib and the tamar, the wheat and the barley, and the raisins and the dates. And we have seen likewise that the majority of the scholars also have considered every other type of hubub and thimar as well, along with these that have similar attributes and characteristics. And that is that they are makila wa mudakhara. That is that they are measured by volume, by the kayl. They are measured in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner by the kayl, and likewise they are mudakhar. This excludes every type of grain or every type of fruit that does not have these characteristics, that does not have these traits. So those fruits or those grains and the likes that require refrigeration, that today they are able to be stored for some time, but they require extra effort like refrigeration and certain storage processes and the likes like this, then these will not be included. And we have seen that the vegetables, they're not included, and that the fruits like the apples and the likes, they're not included. But we have seen as well that the fig, whenever it is dried, it is included. And likewise, the apricot, whenever it is dried, is included. The people of knowledge have mentioned these. And likewise, the dhura, and the aruz, the rice, and the corn, these as well have been included from the hubub. In our previous class, we were discussing the issue of the nisab, and we mentioned that there's a difference of opinion with regards to that. Any is somewhere between 500 and some a kilo to some above that. And we have mentioned that some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned 610 kilo, and others they mentioned 612 kilo. And we mentioned the fatwa that is mentioned in the work, the summarized work of Fiqh al-Muyassar. And here they mentioned that the nisab is 612 kilo. And they mentioned that that was based upon 2.40 kilos. And one of the students, may Allah reward them, they noticed that there is a mistake in this. And actually in that text, or in that work in Al-Fiqh al-Muyassar, there's a mistake. Because we have seen that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said the nisab for khamsa awsuq, five awsuq. And we have seen that a wasq is 60 sa'. So 60 times 5 is 300 sa'. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned roughly that the sa' is 2,040 grams. This is the calculation of Shaykh Uthaymeen. And Allah knows best, this is what they're basing the measurement on in Al-Fiqh Al-Muyassar. So it would not be 2.40, rather it would be 2.2 0.04, 2.04. So there's a mistake there. It says that one size 2.40, but that's a print mistake in the number. And I notice myself many times on the computer or on the phone, if you type numbers in, sometimes they come up backwards. And wallahu a'lam, this is what happened in that print, that the numbers came up backwards especially whenever you put points, any fasil. You put the fasil there, then many times the numbers will come out backwards. Or if you put a slash there, likewise, sometimes the numbers will come out backwards. For example, if you want to type in the volume and then a slash in the page number, by the time you're finished, the page number comes first and the volume will come last. And this is how sometimes the computers then make a mistake. So wallahu a'lam, this is what happened. So when we mentioned in our previous class that was based upon 2.4 kilo sa', what is correct is 2.04. Because 2.04 times 300 is 612. And that's what they mentioned. And 2.04 is 2,040 grams. 2,040 grams, and 2 kilo and 40 grams. This is what Shaykh Uthaymin mentioned likewise, rahimahullah, in the Sharh al-Mumti' with regards to the sa'. And he mentioned that in Unayza, which is where he's from, that it was sometime in his lifetime, there were some houses that were in ruins. They were old, and they had found a mud, and a measuring mud in that house. And it had the name so-and-so, from so-and-so, from so-and-so, inscribed on that mud that was found in these ruins, all the way back to Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu. And the Shaykh, he mentioned he used that, to measure up the one that they found, this cup here, or this mud here, and it equaled almost, exactly, very close to what the fuqaha have mentioned. So this is a close estimate with regards to that, 2.04. So one sa' is 2.04 kilo, 2,040 grams. So then whenever we multiply that by 300, then we get the number that is mentioned there. So Allahu a'lam, this is the nisab. This is the nisab of the hubub and the thimar. If a person, his crops reach this amount here, 612 kilo, then it would be an obligation for him to pay zakat on those hubub and on those thimar. So this is where we had stopped in our previous class in discussing this issue. So now we continue, and the people of knowledge, they mention that the nisab, it must be in a person's possession whenever the zakat is obligatory. We took this in the last class likewise. أن يكون النصاب مملوكا وقت وجوب الزكاة أن يكون النصاب مملوكا أن يكون هو صاحب الزر أن يكون مالكا للنصاب وقت وجوب الزكاة that he will have authority, he will own, and it will be in his possession the nisab whenever the zakat becomes obligatory. So now we have the issue is, when does the zakat become obligatory? When does the zakat become obligatory? Yani on the crops, on the hubub, and on the thimar. The people of Nar, as I mentioned, with regards to the hubub, yani waqt wujub, a zakat fil hububi idha ishtaddat. And if it becomes, yani antasira qawiyya, the grains, when will the zakat be obligatory upon them? What time does the obligation begin? Is whenever they become ripened and they become firm. And it's mentioned about them whenever they're green. Whenever they're green, you can squeeze them and they'll squeeze. إِذَا ضُغِطَتْ تَنْضَغِطْ. If you squeeze them, they'll squeeze. But whenever they ripen and they become ready, they'll become firm. So they say about the hab, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ. This is what is mentioned. So what does it mean, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْحَبْ? Meaning whenever it becomes firm. Whenever it ripens to the extent, it becomes firm. The farmers, they know these signs. So whenever it becomes firm, and whenever it's at this time, this is whenever it's time to benefit from it. And also it's known at this time as well, the farmers generally, whenever the crops, they reach this particular level, they feel safe that the diseases will not afflict it, and that the crops are going to flourish, and that they're going to be beneficial. So at this time, this is the time for the obligation. This is the time for the obligation. So yani they say, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا دُغِطَ لَا يَنْضَغِطَ. Whenever it becomes strong, you squeeze it, it doesn't squeeze anymore. But whenever it's green, and whenever it's ripening, those seeds, you can squeeze them, and they'll squeeze. It's not ripened, it's not finished. Yani after that, you can make hasad. This is whenever. Then this is whenever it's you can harvest it and benefit from it. But some people, they might harvest it before that for one reason or another. The point is, what do we benefit from this? Is that before that, it's not obligatory for him to pay zakat. Before that time, it's not obligatory for him to pay zakat. This part's going to come to likewise. So we want to learn this affair. This is a principle in this chapter. So when is the obligation come? On the heb, whenever it ripens and it's ready and it's strong. And if you squeeze it, you cannot squeeze it. Well, not squeeze. And this means it's going to be ready for harvest, or almost ready for harvest, and the likes like this. And with regards to the thamr, with regards to the, for example, the dates and the likes like this, yani the ihmarra wa asfarra. Whenever it becomes, whenever they become red, or whenever they become yellow. And with regards to the inab, إِذَا swadda, يعني ظَهَرَ فِيهِ الْمَاءَ الْحُلُو. يعني this is what they say, meaning whenever it ripens. Whenever it ripens, and it becomes good. So the dates, يعني they will ripen, they will change color. And you can tell whenever they're ready. They'll change to red or to yellow. And they will have the sweetness there in them. And before that, if you eat these fruits before they're ripe and they're ready, they'll be bitter. But if you eat them after they have ripened, they'll be sweet. So likewise, the inab and the grapes and the likes like this, the same way. That yani, they'll be hard and the likes like this, and then they'll grow. And the water will come in them, and they'll be moist. And they will be sweet. They'll be sweet, and they'll change color. They'll darken. At this time, now the obligation comes. And each one of them, they have any their ways of identifying that. And each grain or each fruit that the zakat is in, any of the people of knowledge of that science or that field, any of the farmers, they're aware of these affairs. And they know about these affairs. So any of the general issue here is that the حب إذا اشتد وثمر إذا بدا صلاحه. إذا بدا صلاحه. Yani the grains, whenever they become firm and they become strong, and the fruits, whenever they ripen and it's clear that they're beneficial and the sweetness comes, and the likes like this. So this is the general principle. At this time, the obligation is established. At this time, that is obligates where it pays zakat. But then there's another issue. Likewise, when does the obligation become affirmed? So in this chapter, the people of knowledge, they talk about waqt al-wujub wa istiqrar al-wujub. Waqt al-wujub wa istiqrar al-wujub. The time for the obligation to come, and whenever the obligation is established. And whenever the obligation is established, there's affairs that's going to come based upon these issues. So waqt wujub, we've seen that with regards to the hab and with regards to the thamr. This is when the time for the obligation comes. When will the obligation be affirmed and be established? يَسْتَقِرْ الْوُجُوبَ عَلَى صَاحِبِهَا. Yani whenever they take them and they put them in the jirin, or they put them in the baydar. Yani whenever they harvest them and they take them to the place they have a place where they put them and they cipher them and they clean them. So they'll gather the crops. They'll gather the crops and they'll have a place called the baydar. Or the jareen. It's just a place where they put the crops, and they will cipher out the leaves and all of the things that they do not need, and there will be nothing left except for the product, any of the heb that is there, or except for the fruit. At this time, now after it's taken into this process, now the obligation becomes established. So the obligation for these affairs is whenever they're gathered. whenever they're harvested, whenever they're gathered, and they're put into the place where they're being prepared, and they're being cleansed, and they're being purified, filtered. They filter them until there's nothing left except for the product. They filter them until there's nothing left except for the product. At this time, whenever they're in this state, now the obligation becomes established on that person. And so long as they reach the nisab. They reach the nisab. So for example, if something happened to these fruits or to these grains and the likes before the time of obligation, before waqt al-wujub, there's no daman. The owner, the farmer, he will not have to pay anything. Before they ripen and before they're ready to be harvested, before the time of obligation comes, a disease comes to them. Whether he was negligent, or whether he harvested them early, or whatever the case may be, or whether the disease came from them, and because of his own action, or because not because of his own action, regardless of whether he was negligent, or whether just a disease came by the command of Allah, and the crops there are ruined. There's no obligation upon him now. There's nothing for him. He does not have to make up. He does not owe any debt with regards to the zakat here, regardless of whether it's his fault or not. You understand that? Because now the obligation has not been established. The time for obligation did not come. Because before this time, the crops, they are exposed to diseases, and they're exposed to plagues, and they're exposed to many different issues. And maybe they could fail. Things could happen. The decree of Allah could come, and the harvest could be ruined, and the likes like this. Or insects could come, or whatever the case may be. The farmers, they know these affairs. They're growing them, and in the early stages, they're exposed to these different dangers. The crops are exposed to these different dangers. But if they reach a particular age, then normally after that age, then the farmers, they have high hopes that their crops are going to flourish, and they're going to benefit from them. So this is something that they know. So before that time, there's no zakat. If anything happened to those crops, there's no zakat on him because the obligation didn't come. As for if the crops, they reach the time of obligation. The time of obligation, meaning they're still, and they're not harvested, but the time for the harvest has come. You understand that? So now they reach the time when the obligation has come. But then if something happens to them, without him being negligent and the likes like this, he will not have to make up any zakat. And if the obligation has come, he's expecting to pay zakat on his wealth. And then something happened to his crops and they were destroyed. Something happens to his crops and they're destroyed. A plague or a disease or a fire or a thief or whatever the case may be. Animals came and trampled them and ruined them. A great rain came and wiped them out. So long as it was not his fault and he did not have any hand in that, and he was not negligent with regards to his crops and they were destroyed, he will not have to owe anything. He will not have to owe anything, and Allah knows best. But as for if he was negligent and he was negligent and heedless with regards to this affair, and then after that they were destroyed, after the obligation has come, then he would have to make up that. And he would have to pay, because the obligation had come upon him and he was negligent with regards to that. As for after the obligation has become affirmed, so we have before the obligation, and then we have the time of the obligation, and then we have the establishment of the obligation. The establishment of the obligation now is after they have ripened and they have been harvested and they have been taken off of the field and they have been put in the place for cleaning. From there, they'll clean them and they will filter them until there's nothing left except for the product. Once they become here, now the obligation is affirmed. And the right of that person is called istiqrar al-wujub. Istiqrar al-wujub. So here, many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that no matter what happens after this time, if something happens to these crops, whether it's because of his fault or not, he will have to pay. He has to make any yadhman, because the obligation has come upon him. For example, if he was negligent. After they have been taken and put in the baydar, or taken and put in the jirin, and then because of his negligence, something happened to them and they were destroyed or they were lost, then he will owe. For sure he will owe now, because the obligation is affirmed in his right. And he was negligent with regards to that. So he still owes that. That zakat will still be a debt upon him. A debt upon him. And even some of the people of knowledge, rather the majority of the fuqaha, they mentioned even if he was not negligent. For example, he placed them somewhere and then somebody came and lit them on fire. Or some thieves came and destroyed them. Or something happened and they were wiped out. Not even from his own negligence, that he would still have to pay. He was still, the debt would still be upon him because the obligation, استخر فيه الوجوب. استخر فيه الوجوب. The obligation has been affirmed. But Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he mentioned that Allah knows best so long as he didn't make any negligence or he didn't violate any of the affairs or transgress the limits with regards to these, then he would not have to owe that. And this is also what Shaykh Suleiman, he mentioned, yani, which is the strongest opinion of the two, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So with regards to the harvest of the crops, there's three situations. And that is before they ripen, and before they become firm, before they become strong, the grains and the likes, before they become strong, and the fruits before they ripen and become sweet, and the dates before they become sweet, and before they become moist. And likewise, the grapes and the likes like this, and at this time, there's no obligation. If something happened before that, or at this time, if something happened this time, there's nothing upon him. There's nothing upon him, even if he sold them. Even if he sold them, or he harvested them and before the time, and he sold them for whatever reason, there's nothing upon him. There's nothing upon him. And then if they ripen, and they reach that level, now this is the time for obligation. This is the time for obligation. So the issue here now is if he was negligent, yani he would have to make that up. Yani the obligation is affirmed on him now. So now he owes zakat. So if something happened to them now before he harvested them, yani because of his negligence, he's going to have to pay for that. The zakat is going to be yani upon him as a debt, upon him as a debt, because the obligation has been established, and he was negligent. And then as for after he has harvested them, and he has placed them in the place where they are prepared for being filtered and cleaned and the likes like this, then many of the scholars mention now that regardless of what happens, the obligation is upon him. The majority of the scholars, they mentioned this. As I said, also Shaykh Uthaymeen and Shaykh Suleiman, they mentioned that, wallahu alam, so long as he was not negligent, then he would not have to pay any debt if something happened to them. So before they ripen, and then whenever they ripen, and after they're harvested and prepared, I need to be cleansed. These are the three levels. The first one is, there's nothing with regards to that. The second one is called waqt al-wujub. At this time, it becomes obligatory. And then after that, whenever they're cut, and they're reaped and put on the side where they are cleansed, and the likes like this, is at this time is called istiqrar al-wujub. Whenever the obligation becomes established. So there are narrations with regards to this. It's been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Anas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an-nabi an bay'i thimari hatta tuzhi. Qila ma zahwaha? Qala tahmaru wa tasfar. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade from selling the thimar, those fruits, until they make his zahu. So they said to him, what is the zahu? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever they become red or they become yellow, any according to the type of the dates. So whenever they change colors in this manner, and along with that, the sweetness comes. And likewise, it has been reported authentically from Ashab al-Sunan, also from Anas, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an bay' al-'inabi hatta yaswadda wa an bay' al-habbi hatta yashtadda. So this is clear evidence for what is mentioned there, and by the fuqaha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade selling the 'inab until hatta yaswadda. And what is intended here, hatta yatamawwa yaswadda, and it doesn't mean it becomes black until the water comes, and the mat is called aswad from the names of it. Yani that they used to have the aswadain in their house, the water and the dates. And yani, so here what is intended, hatta yaswadda, meaning until the water comes into it and becomes moist and becomes sweet. This is whenever, yani, so you can't sell the dates until this time, because this is before they're safe and before they have ripened and before they're going to be good. And also collected by Bukhari Muslim from the hadith Ibn Umar, he said, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an ba'i thimar حتى يبدو صَلَاحُهَا نَهَى الْبَاعِي وَالْمُبْتَعِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited from selling the thimar until the ripeness is becomes clear. حَتَّى يَبْدُوا وَالصَّلَاحُهَا يعني the صَلَاحُهَا, meaning whenever they reach that stage, whenever they're good and they're ripe, and one can benefit from them. And the likes like this. And he prohibited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seller and the purchaser. And it's not allowed for either one of them. It's not allowed for him to sell them, nor is it allowed for him to buy them before they reach this stage. Before they reach the stage of ripening and become ready, yani for using, ready for eating and benefiting. And in one wording by Al-Bukhari, he mentioned, وَكَانَ إِذَا سُئِلَ عَنْ صَلَاحِهَا قَالَ حَتَّى تَذْهَبَ عَاهَتُهَا. So what does it mean? صَلَاحُهَا? When will they be ripened? When will they be good? You can't sell them until their goodness is clear and is known. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's asked about that. He said, until their disease goes away. حَتَى تَذْهَبَ عَاهَتُهَا. Al-aha is the disease or the plague that will fit them and that will befall them. So that, as I mentioned before, there's a time, yani in harvesting crops, that the crops, they're exposed to the aha. They're exposed to these different diseases and to these different ailments and being destroyed from different reasons, that they will not grow, that they will not flourish, that they will not ripen. But if they make it past this stage, then many times this is an indication that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala they will flourish and they will grow and they will be able to harvest them and they will be fine. And the season is going to be good after that. And this is from those signs. So all of this has been clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is with regards to when it's obligatory. And then when the obligatory becomes established, and we have seen what comes and based upon that, if he's negligent, if something happens, or something happens and he's not negligent, the ruling will be different according to the circumstance and situation. According to the circumstance and the situation. And again, this is a clarification for us, the great details of the law of Allah and His legislation. That there are great, great details in every circumstance and situation in life, even with these little seeds. Even with these little seeds and these fruits and the likes like this, that there is a law with them. And there's a legal way that must be followed, a sharia, a straight path. The one who believes in that and abides by that and follows that, it will lead him to the pleasure of Allah. It will lead him to the pleasure of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe these things for us are far from our mind. Yani, no doubt, because we don't live on farmlands and the likes like this. But in reality, these issues here of the animals and the farmlands and the crops, this is something major in life. And the farmers, yani, they're wealthy. And the people who have cattle and the likes like this, they're wealthy. And the people who have farmlands, they're wealthy. And we're dependent upon these affairs, yani, from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the people who have farmlands, and they produce these crops, and from these different crops comes the bread, and comes the different noodles, and comes the wheat, and the barley, and all the things, and the flour that we cook with, and the food that we eat, and the likes like this. And likewise, many things from the animals, their hides, and the shoes, and the car seats, and so many different affairs that we are heedless about, or forgetful about, or we don't realize that come actually from the things that grow in the land. The things that grow in the land, from the likes of these affairs. So these issues here are from the necessities of life. And the people in reality who are involved in them, those farmers and the likes like this, they have large farmlands. These people are very wealthy. These people are very wealthy. This is a main source of living and a main any for us and for them, for the people in general to eat and to survive upon. And likewise, those people who are involved in that, they have a direct livelihood in a great manner. And then as well, the people that are needed that, the milk that we get from the animals, all of this is from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal and the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal, and there's Allah set with that. And there's Allah set with that. It's very detailed. It's very detailed, alhamdulillah. So now we see that the obligation has come, and what would happen whenever it's upon them, and when that would occur, and how that would occur. After that, how much will one pay? How much will one pay? We have seen that in the beginning, that yani the crops that are provided for, yani the nourishment and the water comes from the sky, or it comes from the rivers, yani naturally, by the grace of Allah, without any effort from the farmer. Then this type of crops, he will pay an ushur. An ushur is a tenth. An ushur is a tenth. And so the one that is provided the rain, by the rain from the sky, or by the rivers, or the springs, and the likes like this, or these particular plants, they find the water by way of their roots. And some plants, they have or trees and the likes like this, maybe they're not actually any next to the river or the likes like this, but they're not far, and they're able to find the water by way of their roots. Their roots will grow and search of water, and they'll find water in this manner. They're called athari. Al-athari. Yani, this is also from the science of Allah Azza wa Jal, that this plant, it knows how to find its provision. It's guided. Allah Azza wa Jal, He guided the plants, and they are able to find their provision by way of their roots. This is an amazing affair. This is an amazing affair, indicating the greatness of Allah, and He's worthy of worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then likewise on top of that, the greatness of the law that's required with regards to those crops and with regards to those plants. So since it is Allah Azza wa Jalla has provided those, although they belong to a person, they're on his property. He's going to harvest them. He's going to benefit from them. But since they're provided and nourished from the water that is provided from Allah, now there is a tenth in the zakat of that. As for the one that a person, he provides the water, he irrigates the water with his own effort. We have seen they had the what did they call the sawani. Yani, this is the plural, or the nawadih, the nawadih, the saniya. These are camels and cows that they would put water on, and then they would take the water on the camels to the fields and to the crops and water them. And they will work themselves, or they will have wells that they would dig, and they would take the water from the wells. Any workers, they will irrigate their crops. So if this is the case and they have to make effort themselves, then the zakat on that is only going to be nisf al-ushr. Nisf al-ushr. The author, he mentioned this narration here. We read those narrations in the previous class. So this is the case here. He will pay a tenth. If he reached that amount that we've seen before, 612 kilo, he'll pay a tenth of that. If it's provided solely from Allah Azza wa Jalla with no effort from the farmer. And if it's provided from the effort of the farmer, then it will be nisf al-ushr, half of a tenth. A half of the tenth. And then if it's provided half of the year from this one, and half of the year from that one, meaning half of the year, for example, the rain comes, it's a rainy season, he doesn't have to do anything. And the other half of the year, it's not a rainy season, so he has to provide the water. And it's not like he has to count the days. The people of knowledge, they say this is any taqriban, any approximately, half and half. Like this, then there's a consensus. Ibn Qudamah, he mentioned that is thalathatu arba' al-ushr, three-fourths of a tenth, three-fourths of an ushr. This is how much he will pay in this manner like this. And then if it's in a situation where it's both and both, and all throughout the year, maybe he has, for example, rain, and it's rain is coming through the year, but it's not enough to provide the crops entirety. So it will rain, and then likewise he will make effort. Or if, for example, there are rivers or streams and the likes like this that the crops benefit from, but it's not sufficient to provide the crops entirety. So along with that, he has to also make effort himself. So this one, he will look to which one is most beneficial. So is the provision that is coming from the sustenance of Allah Azza wa Jal most beneficial? Or is it the one that is coming from his effort? Which likewise is the sustenance of Allah Azza wa Jal. But so that we understand, and he's making effort now. He's making effort now. So if his effort is bringing most of the benefit to his crops, then he will pay according to that. And if he's making effort, but is mostly provided from the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal, without any effort, although he makes some effort, then he will make the estimate according to that. According to that. So again, this is all the details that have been mentioned with regards to this and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which is provided from the grace of Allah, this one has a greater portion of zakat. And as for the one that he has to make effort with regards to, then this one, it has a lesser portion of zakat. In compensation for the effort that the farmer is making, with regards to the nisab, how is it measured? After everything has been cleansed and after everything has been separated. So the nisab will not be weighed whenever the wheat and the likes is all mixed up with stems, so on and so forth. After it's cleansed and after it's filtered and the product is left, this is what you weigh. Likewise with regards to the fruits, likewise with regards to the dates or the raisins, and after they're filtered, at this time, this is when you weigh them. At this time, this is when you weigh them. So if it reaches the weight at this time, likewise the rice, the same thing. And it's not until that time, after they're filtered, after they're cleaned, ba'da at-tasfiyah, and the likes like this, at this time, this is the weight that is considered, and the nisab that is considered, and likewise the amount that one will pay for. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, if he had, for example, dates, or if he had the raisins and the likes like this, any of the grapes, he won't pay on grapes, he'll pay on raisins. right? Because the raisins they have, they're dried. You can save them. As for the dates, you can't save. As for the grapes, you can't save them. And like that. And likewise, the dates. We mentioned whenever the dates. What dates are they? The tamar. What's the difference, Manny? The tamar. When it's called tamar, this is when it's dried. If it's not dried, they call it the rutab, the one that's moist, the one that's soft, the one that's juicy. This is called rutab. So if it's rutab, there's no zakat. This is when it's not the one that has zakat. So if a person he has these dates and he paid the zakat, yani on the rutab, it will not be accepted, because it's known that the weight of the rutab and the weight of the tamar is different. Yani the date, whenever it's moist and whenever it's dry, the weights are different. So if he paid whenever it's rutab, or he paid in the rutab, it will not be accepted. It will not be accepted, and he'll have to pay the zakat again. So it's not on the rutab, it's on the tamar. And it's not on the inib, it's on zabib. So and one time it's moist, one time it's dry. If he paid the moist one, this will not be accepted. He pays the dry one. He pays the zakat on the dry one and with the dry one. He will not give the moist one. If he did that, we say he paid his zakat in the rutab, and then he found this out, he would have to pay it again. It would not make ajza. It would not suffice him. The obligation would not be removed, and then that which he had given before would be considered tatawwa', considered a free charity, and he would have a reward for that, but it would not be considered zakat, and he would not have fulfilled the right of those crops. Last issue that we discussed with regards to zakat hubub thimar. The land that somebody rents, and he rents the land. It's not his land. It's a farmer. He rents the land from somebody, and he works on it. Then he grows the crops and the likes like this and harvests them. So the land belongs to somebody else. He only rents it, but the crops they belong to him. So who is the zakat on? The owner of the land or the owner of the crops? The owner of the crops. The people of knowledge, they differed about this likewise. But Allah knows best. It's the owner of the crops. And this is the statement of the majority of the scholars. The owner of the crops, because he's the one who has authority. He's the one who has ownership. They belong to him. So the zakat is upon him. As for the owner of the land, he's simply renting the land. So he's renting the land. So if his zakat will be considered different. Not on those crops. Those crops do not belong to him. So the zakat of those crops will be upon the one whom they belong to. We understand this? Alhamdulillah. After this, the people of knowledge, they mention in the same chapter, zakat al-kharij min al-ard, zakat al-asal, the zakat on honey. And the people of knowledge, they differed about this affair. And some of them have mentioned that there is an obligation of zakat on honey. And others, they mentioned there's no obligation. And so there's a difference of opinion between the fuqaha with regards to this. But we look at some of the evidences that have been mentioned. And from that is what is collected by Abu Dawood and other than him. Rahimahullah, from the haditha ibn Amr. Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhumah. He mentioned, Ja'a Hilal ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi'ushuri nahli lahu. There was a man, his name is Hilal. He's from Bani Mut'ab, or Bani Mut'ab. And he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the tenths that he owes on his bees, meaning on the honey. وَكَانَ سَأَلَهُ أَنْ يَحْمِيَ لَهُ وَادِيًا يُقَالُ لَهُ سَلَبًا. And this man Hilal, radiallahu anhu, he had asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to protect for him a valley, and his name was Salaba. His name was Salaba. So we pay attention to this point here, because some of the people of knowledge, they use this as an evidence for zakat, the obligation of zakat on the honey. But if we pay attention to the narration, we'll see that it doesn't indicate that. So this man, he's bringing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the honey. He's bringing the honey. But at the same time, this person, he had asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guard for him, to protect for him and give it to him, in protection, and it will be for him. A valley called Salaba. So in this valley he had his bees and he worked there and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him, and he protected this valley for him. And he protected this valley for him. And the likes like this. فَلَمَّا وَلِيَ عُمَرُ بْنُ خَطَابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَتَبَ سُفْيَانُ بْنُ وَهَيْبٍ
إلى عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يسأله عن ذلك. So after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Khilafah of Umar رضي الله عنه, whenever he's in charge, there was a man named Sufyan ibn Muhayb, and he was there. And he wrote to Umar رضي الله عنه, and he asked him about this zakat here. He asked him about this man's valley and his bees and his honey. And so فكتب عمر إن أدى إليك ما كان يؤدي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من عشور نحله فحمله سلبه وإلا فإنما هو ذباب غيث يأكله من يشاء وإلا فإنما هو ذباب غيث يأكله من يشاء. So Umar, he responded and he said to him that if he pays you those tenths that he used to pay on his bees that he used to pay to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then protect him, then protect and secure for him his valley. And if he doesn't pay you that, then do not secure his valley. And those are bees that they have this honey, and whoever wants to eat from that can eat from that, and whoever wants to eat from that can eat from that. And also it's been mentioned min kulli ashri qirab. Qirba, min kulli ashri qirab qirba, that he used to pay from every 10 qirab. It's a big container made from the hide of an animal. It's not a small container. It's one of the bigger containers. For every 10, he would pay one. For every 10, he would pay one. But the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that here, that he's paying this honey here, not for the zakat on the honey, but for the fact that the Prophet is protecting that and guaranteeing him this valley. So this is what's understood from Umar. Umar, he said, whenever he's asked about that, radiallahu anhu, if he gives you what he used to give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then protect his valley for him. And if not, then leave him, and anybody who wants to eat from that can eat from that. And anybody who wants to eat from that can eat from that. So therefore, what is understood from this narration is that the reason for him paying those tenths, and he paying that honey, is for protection, not for zakat. For protection, not for zakat. Likewise, they mentioned as well, the people of knowledge who are of the view that it's not obligatory to pay zakat on the honey, they mentioned that this is ma'i'un yakhruju min hayawan fayushbihu al-laban alladhi yakhruju min hayawan. Yani the fact, and there's no zakat on the laban, yani on the milk. So they're saying that this is a type of fluid, this is a liquid, yani it's a type of liquid that's coming from an animal. It's coming from an animal, a creature that Allah has created. So therefore, it's similar to the milk that comes from the cows and from the goats and the camels. And there's no zakat on that. There's no zakat on that. This is also a fluid, a liquid that comes from the animals. So from this aspect, there's no zakat on the honey likewise, because it's similar to the milk that also comes from the animals. And along with that, the other narrations that mention the obligation of zakat on the honey are not authentic. So there's no clear narration clarifying the obligation of zakat, any directly on the honey. And then likewise, the honey is similar to the milk, and there's no zakat on milk, and there's no disagreement about that. And likewise, this narration clarifies the reason why the man he used to pay the zakat, or he used to pay the honey to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not for zakat, rather he was for the hima, or the himaya, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preserving, protecting, and guaranteeing that land for him. So Allah knows best, there's no zakat on the honey. It's not obligatory. It's not obligatory. And this is the opinion of the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah, and also the opinion of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and the opinion of Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, hafidhullah. But although it's recommended, a person who has bees, and he's collecting honey, and he's benefiting from that, for him to give some of that honey for the sake of Allah is recommended, but it's not obligatory. For him to give some of that honey that he's gaining and benefiting from for the sake of Allah is recommended, but not an obligation, and Allah knows best. I have a question to see if we understood. So the one who has, based upon what we have just listened to and heard from Nani, the position here that there's no zakat on the honey, and it's not obligatory to pay zakat on the honey. Somebody has a honey farm, and he raises bees, and he, for the purpose of this honey, he benefits from that. And he sells honey. Is there any zakat on his honey?
Is zakat on that money?
Huh?
Is zakat on that money?
Tijara. Zakat? Tijara. Yes. The zakat, whenever we say there's no zakat on the honey, That means on the honey itself, from growing from the land. Growing from the land, the honey itself. But if a person here were to sell it, then now there will be zakat on the money that he makes from that if it reached the nisab, or if it was collected with other money. The same thing with the animals. He didn't have, for example, he had 25 sheep. He doesn't have nisab. There's no zakat on his animals. But if he sells them, now there's zakat on them, because now they're not, and you look at it from a different aspect. You look at it from a different aspect. So the widest aspect, or the most inclusive aspect of zakat, is the issue of urud tijara, that which is prepared for sale. So when we talk about each chapter, we're talking about this issue specifically. The animals have a specific zakat on them with specific conditions. The crops have a specific zakat on them, those who grow them with specific conditions. And the gold likewise, and the silver, the currency, specific zakat on them. Then if any of these items are being sold or for sale, now the zakat goes to the other. The rulings of zakat will be determined according to the zakat of business and trade, not to the zakat of these affairs here. So to separate between all of these issues here. So each one so far we studied the four aspects. So we have zakat al-naqdain, we have zakat behemat al-an'am, we have zakat al-zuru' wa thimar, we have zakat, what did we say? Zakat al-naqdain, wa zakat behemat al-an'am, wa zakat urud al-tijara, wa zakat al-hubub wa thimar. So these are the four ones. These are the four ones. So each one has its own specific rulings and specific conditions and the likes like this. But they all could be included in the one of business and trade, whenever something is prepared for business and trade. So to identify that and separate between these issues here. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.